Snap Studios.
Snap Judgment is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Hey, Snappers. It's your boy, Glenn. And I've got a question for you. Have you ever loved someone so much that you wanted to keep them around forever? Well, I have. And our next guest, James Vallejos, he found a way to make it happen. Snap Judgment.
Anyway, I get on the stage, and the line is, "And now, my dear, prepare for a magnificent surprise." And I delivered the line, and my pants fell off.
Well, my dad was a talker, and that was, you know, maybe the best thing you could do with him is hang out and chat. Words just always came very easily to him, and he didn't, you know, need to stop and think so much. He would just lay it out. So my dad had this sort of funny vocabulary. You know, he might insult somebody by calling them a poltroon. You know, if the weather was warm, he'd say, "It's hotter than a $4 fart." Of course, you'd think to yourself, What is a $4 fart? But somehow in context, it worked.
Like a lot of guys, James grew to love his dad's ridiculous jokes. But in April 2016, his cheesy one-liners suddenly meant more. Because that's when he got the diagnosis.
Stage 4 lung cancer. And I remember having the feeling of, he's dying, it's going to happen in a matter of months rather than in a matter of years. And we wanted to know his story. We wanted to remember it. So now is the time. We're going to record it. We're going to get as much detail as we can because this is the window. It's closing. We had arranged the first session to be in the bedroom of my parents' house. He sat in sort of the comfy armchair. I sat in a wooden desk chair. And I've got my digital recorder and I've got a pad. And my job was really just to sit and listen.
No, I enjoyed high school a lot. Alla vivo, vivo, vum. Particularly the senior year. Boom, get a rat trap bigger than the cat. 17th on January 4. Cannibal. Zis, boom, ba. 1953. Oakland High Varsity. Rah, rah, rah. Hot dribbling spit.
Mom's on the phone.
I hope she's not uncomfortable.
Can I ask you a question?
You just did.
When I took all those recordings, I sent them out to be professionally transcribed. I was somewhat shocked to see that they came to a total of nearly 90,000 words.
That's around 300 or 400 pages, about as many words as To Kill a Mockingbird.
I printed out the transcriptions and put them in a binder, thought, cool, we got that, and then I put it on a shelf.
And there it stayed, collecting dust on the shelf day after day in full view. One day he was working on an article about Hello Barbie, a doll that could talk. It was supposed to be the next big thing in interactive talking computers.
And so I shadowed their engineers for several months. So I had this whole experience of seeing how you make a talking AI that was going to be this little brain for Barbie. So at any rate, that was all kind of in the back of my mind. Why couldn't I make a dad bot? Something that would tell his life story in an interactive, conversational way rather than just being hundreds of pages in a binder. To have him not be interactive seemed weird. Like, it could have a lot of his jokes. It could have him singing songs. He seemed suited to that.
James wanted to make a dad bot, a sort of chatbot app of his dad. Dadbot wouldn't speak the same way Talking Barbie did, but you could write to it like you would in Facebook Messenger, and it would write back in his dad's own words with his style and phrasing, just like his dad would.
The first thing the dadbot says, or one of the first things he can say to you when you fire him up, he says, "'Tis I, the beloved and noble father." And that, like, was a signature saying of my dad. He would even call himself BNF for short, for beloved and noble father. I would have the binder with all my dad's words. And I'm just looking through there, and pulling out sentences and phrases and building conversations out of them.
Getting Dadbot to say a catchphrase is one thing, but Dadbot had to be conversational.
I'm not going to have him deliver monologues in this chatbot. It's got to be some back and forth.
So, Dad, how are you doing today?
Not bad for my age of decrepitude.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to dig my teeth into his humor in particular with all of his funny sayings. And if I do this right, it's going to sound like him. I spent a couple months on the first draft of the Dadbot. I tested it on myself in the morning, and then that afternoon was so excited that I had somebody else test it. A computer science expert student at Cal Berkeley. Outside a coffee shop on Shattuck Avenue in downtown Berkeley, we were sitting outside at a little round table, and we'd been talking all about this quest to teach computers to talk. When I sort of was like, well, as it happens, I've been working on a little conversational AI myself. And I pulled out my phone. Would you like to try this? And I handed it to him. The Dadbot, you know, did one of his standard opening lines. He said, "Hello, 'tis I, the beloved and noble father." And the student logically said, "Hello, father." And then the response that the Dadbot gave was, "John who?" And the student, like, he kind of did that face where you pull your chin back and you make a weird half smile. And it absolutely fell on its face, like, just from jump. It was much less ready than I thought it was going to be. I had this weird mix of pride and protectiveness. Like, the bot had already started to become a someone to me, which is a little strange. Immediately afterward, I was driving home, and I thought, I've felt this feeling before, and it was a parenthood-like feeling of, you know, wanting my child to do well and feeling sort of both a little embarrassed for him that he didn't do well and also mad at the world for not being more gentle with my precious child. It was just complicated. My actual dad was dying, and I could tell I was just rabbit-holing on this project that it just wasn't clear that it was going to work. It wasn't clear that anybody wanted it. It certainly had no, like, broader commercial application. The world didn't want it. So when it was day after day working on it, yeah, the question why started ringing in my head quite a bit. My wife had raised a lot of good questions. This is kind of weird, isn't it? Like, you're creating this sort of fake digital version of your dad, and what's that going to be like for you? What's that going to be like for the family? You're already dealing with the fact that your dad, who lives 5 minutes away from you, is dying of cancer. So it might be nice when you're not dealing with that situation to escape. Now, there's no emotional escape for you. I went through a long period where I was trying to decide whether I should even do the Dadbot at all. I had some reservations. Is it going to be creepy? Will it work?
But James locked himself away in his office for 8 hours a day, coding and recoding. Around Thanksgiving, after months of programming,
I went up to their house, got things set up with, so I had the laptop computer set up at the dining room table. This was going to be the first time that my mom and dad saw it.
James opened Dadbot on Facebook Messenger, and then he went to the living room to get his dad. He pushed his wheelchair into the dining room and then hoisted him up in the chair next to his mom.
And there was so much going on with his health and everything that it felt also hard.
He wasn't so concerned with Dadbot's technical performance. He was worried about his parents' emotional reactions.
I was hoping, I think even more than whether it, like, failed or not, or had dead ends or bugs or anything, and, you know, the moment where they would either like it in some way or maybe say, "Whoa, creepy. Like, what is this? You know, you chat with the dad bot on Facebook Messenger, so you're sending text messages back and forth. But he has audio clips that play as well. And I remember my mom first turned to me and she said, I can say anything. She turned and she typed, this is Martha, your dear wife. And the dad bot responded, my darling wife. And she's choked up immediately when the bot said that to her.
His mom was completely absorbed with Dadbot. But out of the corner of his eye, he could see his dad was confused. Who was saying what? Who was dad and who was Dadbot? And he got upset.
He had a little bit of like an identity disturbance. He's had some loss of function. And this is a mind. Like, what am I doing to him? Like, having this version of him that's saying his words and he's having a hard time keeping track of who he is. That was unsettling for me. It did make me worry a little bit. But really, a lot of it was uplifting. They both said amazing. They're like, oh, okay, we like it. It passed that test at least. I mean, that was one of the first times that I started to feel a little more secure in like, okay, I think this is a good thing that I've done.
2 months later, they called in hospice.
I went and sat by my dad's bedside, and it was very hard. I mean, he was such a verbal person, but he really had just about entirely lost the ability to speak. So that was crushing because that was always so much part of him. It was so devastating to not hear him talk at the very end of his life. And, you know, I sat and I held his hand and I stroked his shoulder and I just kind of blabbed a bit because I felt like somebody should be talking. And, you know, I was just exhausted. I was really exhausted. I went upstairs, went into my sister's old bedroom, which was the bedroom directly above the room where my dad was, got myself ready for bed, took my phone out of my jeans and put it on the carpet beside the bed. And I'm not normally a take the phone to bed sort of person, but it was there. And I picked it up. I decided to chat with the dad bot. A file comes up, and it's one of the times when I could hear his actual voice, and he's saying,
me and my shadow, all along, nothing to do. Me and my shadow, 12 o'clock, nothing to do. And when I climb the stair at 12 o'clock, there's nothing to do.
Kind of made the hair stand up on the back of my neck because... Yeah, it was one of those moments where I kind of cracked a smile and started crying at the same time. And then I went to bed that night, and about 6 in the morning, and I just heard kind of a steady rap, rap, rap on the door. Got out of bed, opened the door, and the nurse was there, and he said, you must come. Your father has just passed. So went down the stairs, went into the room. I was all alone. You know, he was just lying there. I touched him right away, and he was quite warm. And I remember wanting to keep touching him. But he was so still. Yeah, so I sat there with him. Hello, are you there? Hello, John James Vlahos Esquire here. What's your name? This is your son. I thought I smelled something funny. Well, how the hell are you? People have asked, you know, with this dad bot, are you prolonging the grieving process and you're not going to accept your father's death? And I've decided that's a problematic question for me. Like, if the grieving is sort of like, don't think about your dad so much and don't have all these details of his life in your mind, why would I want to do that? I am feeling stressed out today. I hope that whatever is worrying you will resolve itself soon. Shall we begin? I'm going to keep making the dad bot better and better. It's wonderful to hear my dad's voice, to hear him sing, to hear him talk. Let's do this. How did you meet Mom?
I had a rehearsal, an afternoon rehearsal. In the morning, I'd been playing tennis and was wearing tennis whites. In those days, you wore white shorts and white shirts. I came bounding down the stairs of the theater toward the stage saying, "Tennis, anyone?" And Mom thought I was the biggest jerk in the world. So then we started talking about tennis.
Thank you to James Vlahos for sharing your story. James is working on his book, Talk to Me, about the quest to create conversation-making AIs. Keep an eye out for that coming very soon. The original score for that piece was by Renzo Gorio. It was produced by Jasmine Aguilera. And even though this is not the news, no way is this the news. In fact, you could record everything your best friend says for posterity only to realize that your best friend never really says anything. You could do that and you would still not be as far away from the news as this is. But this is WNYC.